The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Well, what's up, everybody? It is the postseason now, and the fantasy season is kind of over, but the 2024 season starts right now. All right, we're going to give you our top 24 for next year. We're going to obviously take a brief look at the NFL playoff matchups, and really expecting a very fun weekend here. And we're going to say hello to Dave and Jamie. A pretty fun game last night, Jamie Eisenberg. I gave a hot take. I was watching with some friends who I do have, and I gave a hot take like midway through the game. I said, Tua, if you put Tua Tagovailoa on the Giants, he's basically Daniel Jones.
Maybe. I was surprised, and I'll give you a chance before I send it in, that you have Tua ranked over Dak Prescott, I believe.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay.
I mean, Dak Prescott.
So do you have Daniel Jones ranked ahead of Dak Prescott as well?
I mean, look, he's still good for fantasy as long as Hill and Waddle are healthy. You know, he's still going to put up big, big numbers. Dak has like one guy. I think that was why I went with. I basically had Tua, Purdy, and Dak in a three-way tie, if I recall. And I think I had them 11, 12, 13.
You were the only person of the five people who ranked quarterbacks for the exercise that we're doing to not have Dak in the top 12.
He's 13. Where did you guys have him?
I had Tua 13th. Oh, you're saying Dak wasn't
in
the top.
Yeah, Dak's 13th.
Yes, Dak is 5 for me.
I'm in off-season listening mode. I've got Dak at 8, but there's obviously a chance that he could rise.
Yeah.
There's a lot that could change in Dallas this offseason.
Apparently. Yeah, we'll see what happens this weekend. They are the NFC champions, though. NFC East champions, sorry. I got ahead of myself. They're the NFC East champions.
A little preview. What do you think is going to happen?
I was hanging out with a Packers fan last night, and he is ready. He's like, we got this. We love beating the Dallas Cowboys. Like, I mean, they're confident. So that's
there's a few upset spots for this upcoming weekend.
I think there's only two that you look at and you go, there's no way there's going to be an upset.
There's only one for me.
Kansas City and Buffalo. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
No, I don't agree on Kansas City.
Okay.
I mean, Dolphins no, just
you know what? Kansas City deserves that. They haven't played well enough to say that they're definitely going to beat Miami.
100%. But the Dolphins are so beat up right now. They are so injured.
They are on defense. You know, people, you might obviously know about the offensive injuries, but the defensive injuries are really taking a toll on them. They lost
five pass rushers in the last, I think, month.
Yeah. Now, and they have to go to a cold weather. But I can't. It's going to be tough. But I don't think the Chiefs have just been so uninspiring for a while. I can't wait. I'm really pumped. It's a good wild card weekend, I think.
It's great.
Very good.
Cleveland at Houston. That's a good game.
Except that stupid game's on Peacock.
Miami, Kansas City.
Yeah. We like streaming. Streaming's good.
We like streaming for us, not streaming for other people.
Exactly. How about Cleveland and Houston in the playoffs facing each other, and Deshaun Watson is not the quarterback for either team?
Fun
storyline.
I tweeted out the reunions last night, and somebody brought that up. Watson versus the Browns. Watson's not playing.
Yeah.
I mean, Watson versus Texans. Watson's not playing the Texans.
So the Lions-Rams is the first matchup in postseason history between two quarterbacks, both facing their former teams. And I think the last time, okay, I'm reading from our CBS research team. It's the first time a quarterback faces his former team in the playoffs since, anyone know?
Is it Peyton Manning?
Yeah, Peyton Manning against the Colts in 2014, and he lost that game. All right, anyway, plenty more on that later in the week. All right, let's tell everybody to vote, huh? Vote for us in the Sports Podcast Awards. You can look at the QR code. You can click the link in the episode description wherever you're watching or listening. Or you can go to sportspodcastawards.com, click vote now, and then find the best fantasy betting and gaming podcast category and select Fantasy Football Today. Your vote will decide. It is all fan voting at this point. So prove to us that we have a lot of fans and help us win this award. sportspodcastawards.com, best fantasy betting and gaming podcast. Today on the show, news and notes. We'll give you the coaching updates. We're going to take a look at Week 18. Week 18 deserves some love. We'll talk about guys like Jordan Love. Actually, no, he was not one of the top five, but he'll be talked about at some point because we're doing superlatives. Derek Carr. Derek Carr is the number one quarterback in Week 18. He finished strong. James Conner, Nico Collins, Dalton Kincaid. We won't just skip over it. It is important stuff. We have our superlatives. MVP, biggest bust, best waiver wire pickup, which also might be the MVP, and the comeback player of the year. And also we'll unveil our top 24s for the 2024 season. All right. Arthur Smith fired. Dave, your reaction?
Expected. Totally reasonable. Looking forward to the Falcons hiring a head coach that will use his best talent, but more importantly, agree to find a quarterback that can actually help lead the team to some victories and not cost the team with terrible inaccuracy, untimely turnovers, and being so bad that Taylor Heinicke has to come in and take over.
Good for Bijan.
It's good for everyone everywhere.
Well, I mean, let's see who they hire. But yes, it should be good for everyone everywhere. And the quarterback is obviously going to matter a big part of this. You know, so I would hope that they bring in someone to maximize the talent of what they've, you know, accrued over the last three seasons. You know, with bringing in arguably the best tight end, wide receiver, and running back in their respective classes, and in some cases, some of the best talent that we've seen coming into the NFL, certainly a tight end and running back. There's a lot to love about what the situation can be, but if they don't get the quarterback fixed, it's really not going to matter very much, you know? So that's the next, you know, phase of what has to happen for the Falcons here. So we'll see. I think they put their GM Terry Fontenot on notice as well, that he's probably not going to be around also, given the fact that the statement that they released that he'll be part of the hiring process, you know, as opposed to he will be the guy making the hire. So don't be surprised if the coach that they bring in, if in fact they probably have somebody in place already, decides to have his own personnel person, could be Bill Belichick. So we'll see what happens with who the Patriots hire. But obviously the quarterback is still to be determined, and that's a big part of it.
The Falcons have the 8th pick, and I do think at this point, depending on what happens tonight in the national championship game, you know, you could see four quarterbacks going in the top 8 with Williams, May, Jaden Daniels, and Penix. But I'm looking right now at a mock draft on our website from December 21st from Chris Trapasso.
Is it Ryan's?
No, it's Chris Trapasso from December.
I know Ryan just because I did a college football segment yesterday on HQ with talking about the game tonight, and Ryan has Penix at 11, so he could easily be in play.
Yeah, and I'm looking at one from the 21st, two of them from the 21st, and Penix is not in either of them. And that was the point I'd make about Penix, is that I don't think he was considered a first-round pick until last week. And I'd wonder if it's a little silly to overlook an entire career and just be, oh, he was great. He was great. And maybe, you know, this happens all the time. I mean, quarterbacks rise so much. But I do wonder about that with Penix, if he's going to be pushed up by one performance. And we'll see what happens tonight. If he has a bad game tonight, he may, you know, that all this buzz might throw it away.
Well, it's been the season, you know, so, and I think part of it, and I just know this, and I wasn't aware of this just because I wasn't, you know, I'm not so dialed in yet as I will be, that he had both ACLs repaired. Mm-hmm. So the segment I did was with former GM, current Commanders consultant, Rick Spielman. And he said that, you know, the medicals will certainly matter for what will happen here. But as was said on the segment as well, teams will overlook medicals if they like the player. So I think it'll come down to, you know, if he has a strong game tonight on top of what he did in the semifinals, then he's definitely a first round pick. There's no doubt about it at this point. You know, it's just a matter of, is he a top 10 pick? And that's, I think, what will be interesting to see.
Yeah.
But I mean, some of his throws that he made in that game
were absolutely ridiculous. He also, at halftime in that game, I don't know if he got sacked in the second half, but they gave the stat at halftime. He's been sacked 11 times all season. So that's another thing. Holy cow, what an offensive line they have.
The comparison that Rick Spielman made was kind of twofold. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of Tua comparisons because they're lefties. And then, but the thing he said as a player, he reminds him a lot of CJ Stroud.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Just go back to the Falcons here. I mean, does it concern you at all? They have been first and third in rush attempts the last 2 years, and they've been first and second, or second and first, in running back rush attempts. So I guess, like, how could a coach be better for both the running game and the passing game?
Eliminating the number of running backs that are going to run the ball.
Well, Patterson is gone. He's not staying on the team.
Right, but, like, still, how many games this year were there where Algier, forget about him being close to the amount of work that Bijan had, but had more touches than Bijan had?
Well, I think if you azerstat it and eliminate the headache game, and you look at what was really the second half of the season, Bijan had more carries than Algier. Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Dave. Algier had too many carries, I think, for anybody's liking based on where the investments were made in both of these guys. But, I mean, look, we had this conversation, I think, last week. How many teams are going to have bell cow running backs like we're used to talking about? They're not going to be very many. And I don't think Bijan is necessarily going to get 20 carries consistently week to week as long as Algier is there. Because, look, Algier is a good running back. He's a good player. So whoever the coach is will give him some opportunities. The thing I think that will help is probably, you know, just featuring Bijan more in all facets of the game. And that's, I think, something that could be certainly done with the next coach and hopefully the right quarterback in place. But I mean, look, there's a lot to love about the situation for whoever's going to be the play caller there. I think we would all look at it and say, of the opportunities for where Ben Johnson can go, because he's the most prominent offensive coordinator looking for a job, or at least in expected to get a job, this would be the most favored landing spot if he can get the right quarterback with him.
And it's so easy for him to walk in and say, all right, I'm looking at the Falcons games last year, or last year is crazy. Tampa Bay, 5 games ago, Robinson had one more carry than Algier. Carolina, 4 games ago, that was the rain game. Algier had twice as many carries as Bijan. Mm-hmm. So, like, the very first thing that Ben Johnson could walk into a meeting and say is, we're going to find ways to creatively use Bijan Robinson on top of, like, all the stuff that you saw him do last year. And based on, like, a smart offensive coordinator, we'll be able to find 25 different ways to make that happen, because Bijan can do anything. He's really a talented back. I don't want him to get 20 carries a game. I want him to get 20 touches a game. And I want him to block into, like, 16 minimum every single week. Feed him. Give him a chance to help your offense stay on the field. Give your defense a rest. And he can be a hyper-efficient running back. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to see. And then Arthur Smith rarely, if ever, gave him a chance to do anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that. I think he did. And Bijan only averaged 4.1 yards per carry in his last 8 games. And those were, you know, Jamie, you had said that's azerstat, this and that. I already did all that going in. I'd removed the headache game. I looked at really the last 8 games of the year, though. So forget about even the headache game. The last 8 games of the year started with that Arizona game. And that's when they really gave Bijan more work. And when he became the goal line back, you know, not exclusively, but at least usually. And in those 8 games, he had 111 carries and 30 catches. He was on pace for 236 carries, which is not a ton, but 64 catches. He was on pace for about 1,600 total yards and 10 touchdowns. But here's the problem. I mean, as Dave said it, Bijan had 111 carries in that game. Tyler Algier had 70, and Cordarrelle Patterson had 36. That is just too much. Those two
combined, In the last eight
games, when Bijan became more of a feature back, he had about 51, 52% of the running back carries, and that's just not enough. All right, we'll get into it.
Last 5 games, he had 12 or fewer carries.
Yeah. We'll talk about it on FFT in 5 if you want to listen to that. Washington fired Ron Rivera. Jamie, your thoughts on that situation?
You know, unfortunate. You know, I think he's, you know, he needed to go, you know, once new ownership, you know, took over, and you know, you saw the way the season unfolded. And for a team that, you know, I think some people thought had a chance to maybe be a playoff contender this year, certainly disappointed. The defense really did not play well. Jack Del Rio, you know, you could say was a big part of that. They got rid of him. But that's kind of Rivera's calling card too. And so, you know, just a team, I think they need a reset button. And again, looking at who's going to come in there, they got to fix the quarterback. So they're going to draft a quarterback most likely. I mean, it'd be very shocking if they did not. They've certainly been rumored to maybe trade up to the number one spot. But there's still plenty of talent there. You know, I mean, when you look at McLaurin, and hopefully the next coach brings out the best of Jahan Dotson and Curtis Samuel, it's not a bad receiving core. I think they need to get younger at tight end. And the running back situation, I think, is fine, you know, for what most NFL teams look like. Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson, nice 1-2 combo there. But would not be surprised if Gibson's gone. But in any event, a team that certainly needs a fresh start, and the quarterback will certainly determine how that goes.
Okay, we've got Carolina firing GM Scott Fitterer. We got Bill Belichick. We'll hopefully know soon. His future is uncertain with the Patriots at this point. Brian Daboll said the expectation is that the Giants are going to keep defensive coordinator Wink Martindale, and Daniel Jones is hoping to be ready for training camp. And yesterday, or this weekend, there was a report on NFL Network that Jones was likely to be the week one starter for the Giants, but obviously that could all change. They have the sixth pick in the NFL draft. We'll see what they end up doing there. Puka Nacua set the NFL record for a rookie for catches and yards in a season. Well, 17 games, come on. Evan Engram came up 2 catches short of the tight end receptions record. Zach Ertz still has that, 116 in 2018.
He had one bad drop, that's for sure.
Oh my gosh, yeah. He should get an interception for that. Okay, the Eagles had a bad day. They had a bad day. Jalen Hurts hurt his finger. A.J. Brown left with a knee injury. Safety Sidney Brown reportedly suffered a torn ACL. Bad day at the office for the Philadelphia Eagles. And yet they get the easy matchup in the...
Is it easy?
It's easy. I think I'd rather play
them. I don't think there's an easy matchup for Philadelphia.
I'd rather play them than the Packers, even at home, road, whatever.
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah. In terms of who's left, yes, they probably had the easiest matchup of the NFC side, but still, like, the Bucs probably feel the same way.
No one's easy for Philly.
Yeah, and the Bucs, you know, hopefully they can run the ball, because anyone can run the ball on the Eagles right now. Gabe Davis left with an injury. And actually, the Bills got pretty beat up. Rasul Douglas, starting cornerback, knee injury. Linebacker Tyrell Dodson left with an injury. So hopefully they're okay for their blowout. Ty Johnson, yeah, concussion, I believe. I shouldn't just assume they're going to blow out the Steelers. I don't know. I mean, I don't think the Bills are playing great. Do you? How do you guys feel about the way the Bills are playing?
The Bills should have won that game by 3 touchdowns last night. I mean, 2 interceptions in the end zone from Josh Allen, you know, and Sean McDermott did not seem pleased when he was asked about that at halftime. You know, they had an opportunity to score again, you know, whether it was 3 points or a touchdown. You know, he was also upset about that, the Ty Johnson play at the half. So, yes, they're not playing perfect football, but they have the opportunity, I think, of any team in the AFC to run the gamut. I mean, you know, you're looking at the way that it sets up for them. The Steelers without TJ Watt, we know their offensive deficiencies, and their defense is just so beat up. So it should be an easy win for them at home. Then you get either the Dolphins or the Chiefs on the road. First road game in the playoffs for Mahomes. Tua in the cold is obviously not very good, in his history against Buffalo, not very good. So that's, you know, should be a win for them potentially. Again, we'll see what happens if the Chiefs. Baltimore, we know their history in the playoffs hasn't exactly been great with Lamar Jackson. So if they get by their first round matchup, I mean, the Bills to me are the AFC representative going to the Super Bowl. That's how I have it mapped out.
I think a lot of people will agree with that. I think the Ravens right now are just a lot better than them, but
yes,
that doesn't mean they will be if and when they face off.
Are there odds on who makes the Super Bowl from the AFC?
Of course. Sure. Yeah.
Okay, like, how heavy of a favorite are the Ravens compared to everybody else?
I mean, you would just tier it based on the seeding. So I would imagine it's the Ravens and the Bills are the 1 and the 2. And then it's a matter of how much do they still value the Chiefs as the 3.
All right, so the 49ers are plus 220. The Ravens are plus, this is to win the Super Bowl. Win the Super Bowl.
Right, I want to win the AFC championship.
Let's see. To win the AFC, okay. The Ravens are plus 140. 130.
I see. Yeah.
Plus 260. Some places are plus 300. And then it's the Chiefs, Dolphins. Dolphins, like the Chiefs are close behind, and then everyone else is really far behind.
Yeah.
The Browns.
Yeah, it makes sense. Browns, I mean, that's probably the order that it should be in. But I might say that Kansas City is the second best team in the AFC and the team that Baltimore should have to watch out for. I could see that defense coming together quickly and the offensive line getting stronger, healthier, and coming up with something to stay competitive in all their games.
Oh, I would agree. But having to go on the road based on how they've looked so far this season, even at home, to me, that's a big edge for Buffalo.
Yeah,
you're,
I get it.
Yeah, we haven't really talked too much about the Chiefs missing their left tackle. But that's a
big it's been goal. Huge. Yeah. It's been not half the reason why they've been bad, but a big reason, just the pressure that Mahomes has been getting. And he's been struggling to make Superman plays because he can't make normal plays. He can't make a normal play because the offensive line isn't protecting him. And then he's trying to make Superman plays and his receivers aren't good enough to help him out there like they used to be.
Completely agree with his take in our chat. The Browns plus 1,400 to win the AFC is spicy.
Yeah, that's not a bad one either.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, defense travels. We know that. And
yes,
they can certainly make enough plays offensively. It's just a matter of it's tough to win three on the road.
Yeah, totally. All right. We're going to take a break here. By the way, are we doing a playoff challenge? Anything on the website about playoff challenges?
So I want to check this before I say anything. So if you want to just talk about something else, because I don't want to say the wrong thing.
Oh, Dave. You oh, my gosh. No, I forgot a huge thing. All the Lions injuries. Sam Laporta, Khalif Raymond, and then two other guys left but returned. Brian Branch, their safety, and, of course, Amon-Ra St. Brown. But the Sam Laporta injury and the Khalif Raymond, these are huge. So unfortunate.
Well, one huger than the other. Laporta being out is definitely going to take away a big-time target for Jared Goff and someone who's been a short-area weapon, a red-zone weapon. And I'm curious if it's just, all right, we're going to get what we get out of Brock Wright. And hopefully that he can just pick up the slack while Laporta's gone. But to me, that's a huge loss, figuratively and literally, for the Lions offense moving forward. They need somebody to be that intermediate option opposite Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah.
And Josh Reynolds, does he step up? Does he become that option?
I think so. I think he's going to be a very popular,
might have to be. And
very
that could
popular
be someone
DFS play.
In those playoff challenge leagues and playoff DFS lineups. That could step up and help people.
Yeah, well, it's just a shame. Hopefully it's nothing too bad for Laporta. Dan Campbell said, it's not good, but it's not as bad as it looked.
He's probably missing the playoffs, if I had to guess.
But he'll be fine for week one.
Yeah, I hope that's the case. I mean, hopefully there's no ligament damage that he needs surgery, but it was not pretty when you saw what happened to him. So I did see the NFL.com has discontinued their playoff challenge.
Oh, no.
Much like we did a few years ago, I guess they just found it wasn't worth it, which sucks because it was always a fun thing. I loved our game. I thought their game was fun, too. I do a couple of private ones. So there are people that do, you know, playoff challenges. If you do, they're awesome. We are having it was told to me. Usually I do playoff challenge rankings that since the NFL.com discontinued their games, I don't have to do it, but I'll probably still do it because I like ranking the players for the playoffs. We'll see if that's still on the site so you can get some playoff rankings there. But in any event, it seems like most of the playoff challenge leagues are going private as opposed to having public ones to do them.
Okay. Well, we're taking a break, a big public break for everyone to see. And we'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
All right, let's take a look at the top performers for Week 18 and get some quick thoughts here. Your top five quarterbacks, Derek Carr with 35 fantasy points. He threw 14 touchdown passes in his last five games. Really finished hot, Derek Carr. Dak Prescott, about 34 fantasy points, a huge game at Washington. Carson Wentz with 28 fantasy points at San Francisco. Josh Allen with a bad game for him against the Dolphins. He had been averaging over 35 points per game in his last 11 games, I believe, against the Dolphins. He only scored 27 points, and that was with three turnovers, two picks and a fumble. And Jared Goff with 24.8 fantasy points at Minnesota. Man, it's so strange. Jared Goff, the home road stuff lately has been just bananas. It's mostly the touchdowns. But Carr, Prescott, Wentz, Josh Allen, Jared Goff. Dave, any thoughts, quick thoughts there?
No, I mean, I think as far as fantasy playoffs are concerned, Dak is going to continue to keep roll and roll, and would imagine him to throw a lot pretty much every single playoff game that they have. Allen, looks like the Bills are going to go back to him as the catalyst of their offense and not run as much. And Goff is the one that I'd be almost a little – like too optimistic about for the matchup against LA, because that Rams run defense has been so good and their pass defense has been so bad and he's at home. He might be the one that you want to start this week. I don't know how much longevity he has. He might play two playoff games, but I think he could end up being an outstanding quarterback and a good pivot from Prescott in the first week of the playoffs.
The thing that you want to do with any playoff challenge is you got to map out how many games you think your team, or how many games you think a team will play. Mm-hmm. Because clearly if it's a total point situation, you want to get four games. And so the way that I look at it is Buffalo has the most value because they can easily play four games.
Sure. Running back. Got James Conner, who scored 17.
What point, a finish.
Yeah, I know. 30 points yesterday against Seattle. 17.9 or more fantasy points in five straight games to finish the season for James Conner. And the Cardinals, according to PFF, they are, I don't know if their actually rankings are updated, so I might be wrong about this because it's only Monday, but currently 26th in run blocking, which would be the best finish for a James Conner team in four seasons. He's always on a bad run blocking team. One of the two worst 3 years in a row.
That's funny. No, that line was playing really well like a month ago, and they kept it up for the rest of the season.
That's also if you buy those rankings being the most relevant thing to judge how they are actually blocking.
Right. I don't, but when I see a team like 31st, 32nd.
Well, I get it. I mean, look, it's the only thing we can go off of.
Yeah, exactly. Jonathan Taylor was second. Breece Hall was third. He only had 39 touches against the Patriots. Bijan Robinson was fourth. And Joe Mixon, I think, pretty interesting the way he finished the season. Joe Mixon was fifth in Week 18. And in the last six games of the year, the Jake Browning starts. He was the number four running back overall in PPR and number seven per game. He averaged 4.3 yards per carry, which is like, you know, a normal running back averaging 8 yards per carry. But anyway, what a finish for Mixon. Gives you something to think about going into next year, Jamie.
Well, I was just about to ask, if you're the Bengals, do you try and just run it back for one more year? You know, so to your guy's point about, you know, franchise tagging T. Higgins and obviously hoping for a healthy Joe Burrow, if you're able to bring everybody back, do you bring Joe Mixon back with the hope of, okay, he can still give us one more season as our guy, and then we figure out the running back situation after that? Now, I don't know how much that factors into what their salary cap situation. Again, if I'm T. Higgins, I'm gone if I have the opportunity to. So we'll see how that all unfolds. But, you know, Mixon, it feels as if, you know, just based on everything that was, you know, kind of being said, that he's done in Cincinnati. And so if that's the case, where does he go, you know, to probably supplement a backfield at this point? Because I don't know if he goes somewhere to be a featured guy. And that's the next thing of what we have to see with some of these guys that are going to be getting up in age and, you know, leaving teams.
Right. 28 years old, $3 million roster bonus on March 19th. They would save almost $6 million on the cap if they cut him. I think his salary is actually kind of reasonable for a 28-year-old running back. They've got Chase Brown that they could have to supplement him. I can't rule out that he stays in Cincinnati one more year. It doesn't mean that I'm going to love drafting him, but he finished strong, and that's an offense that they could easily just say, you know what? We've got good pieces here. Let's try one more time with everybody.
And they also did allow him to. They could have easily not played him, allowed him to get two pretty significant incentives with the two touchdowns. You know, so you know that's something I think Zach Taylor said at the beginning of the season. I'll go back to the owners' meetings. You know, when there was thought of Mixon being gone because of the potential suspension, he was like, you know, Joe's our guy, and mm-hmm. they stuck with him all season despite the injuries. And they could have easily said, okay, it's time to see what we have behind him a little bit more. And then we saw a little bit of Chase Brown clearly, but you know, they could have easily week 18 said, we don't want to get Mixon the incentives and Chase Brown, go see if you can earn the job. And they didn't. They stuck with Mixon, and kudos to him for coming through. And maybe he has one more season left of it. You know, I don't think anybody wants to draft him as a, you know, top tier fantasy option if he's still in Cincinnati, but he'll be a great fallback number two running back that you can certainly get with a great value pick.
Okay, take a look at the top five wide receivers in fantasy week 8. A lot of big names here. Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb are 1 and 2. Nico Stud. Collins, number 3. Stud. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 4. Dontavian Wicks is 5. I want to ask you about the Texans. All right, we talked to, I don't think Jamie was on at that point, but Heath and Dave both said Tank Dell over Nico Collins. Is there anything that would make you change your mind this week 18 game, maybe another big game in the playoffs? Could anything change your mind about Nico versus Dell?
As far as the games themselves?
No, as far as
if we get to late July and Tank Dell isn't in training camp yet and he's slow to recover from the injury that he had, then yeah, of course Nico will go over Tank Dell. But I think people are going to be excited over Tank Dell. I think that they'll know what his upside is, and no one should be surprised by how Nico is performing. He's been playing great all year, but the numbers that he's putting up right now, I think a lot of them would not be here if the Texans receiving core was healthy. And for whatever it's worth, against Indianapolis, they didn't have a lot of other receivers on the field. So it had to be Nico Collins being the main wide receiver for CJ Stroud. And he's still going to be good next year, but I don't see him being a top 10 type of fantasy receiver.
Okay.
I don't know if either one will be a top 10 receiver for me.
Agreed. Right.
They're both top 20 receivers. You know, it feels like they could be a Evans Godwin situation, you know, with Brady and how those guys were operating, you know, not necessarily the same way, but something similar, you know, Debo and Ayuk. You know, you can get two star receivers when your quarterback is playing the way that CJ Stroud's playing. So, you know, it's a good situation to be in the camp of both. And I think I might rank Nico ahead of Tank Dell still. There's more big play potential.
When I did my rankings last week, I had Dell 12th. Dell 12th and Nico, Dell 10th and Nico 12th with Olave in the middle. So I don't like, do you guys have Cooper Kupp over them?
No, I would take both Texans guys over Kupp.
I think I would too. I haven't ranked that far yet, but just seems to make sense that way.
I'm curious who's in your top 12 ahead of them. Cause I found it very hard once you got past like 7 guys in the top 12. I mean, I still have Diggs ahead of them, Puka, and then Dell, Olave, Nico. I just couldn't really figure out who else to put there.
And you didn't consider the 49ers receivers over them.
I did have Debo there. But in PPR, like they're just not high catch guys. But yeah, that's totally valid. You could put one or both of them in there. You could put Devontae Smith in there. It's certainly reasonable.
I didn't say Devontae Smith.
No, I'm just thinking out loud. Yeah, but oh, Jalen Waddle I don't have in there, but I think that's perfectly reasonable too. It's tough. You know, it's some good debates to be had.
Sure. I think the one thing that people will think about is, could there be some regression in Houston in CJ Stroud's second season? We've seen it time and again where a quarterback has a hot start to his career and then all the other teams in the division and all their other opponents have a full offseason to game plan. Mm-hmm. And so does CJ Stroud have a good counterpunch? What can he do something
I would hope
to overcome what he did as a rookie, because defenses are going to have a way. You don't think the Titans are going to come up with something to try and baffle CJ Stroud?
I mean, the Jaguars probably will not. I think they're going to try, but I think Stroud's awesome. And the improv plays that he makes are incredible.
Listen, that's the thing. I think the thing that you look at from what he was able to accomplish, very minimal interceptions. So, mm-hmm. you know, he's one of those guys that could make plays without necessarily having to maybe take chances, you know, that are not unnecessary. So, you know, that goes two ways. You know, is he being a little too conservative or does he get a little bit more, you know, gunslinger mentality in him. The other part of it is he did it with such a makeshift offensive line. I mean, he didn't even know the names of his offensive linemen in the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season. And, you know, that unit certainly got better as the year went on. But, you know, hopefully that's what they do to build around him, is to get a little bit better protection. And then do they add somebody else? You know, because obviously Robert Woods is at the end of his career. Noah Brown, is he the answer as the third guy? Do they have some concerns about Tank Dell staying healthy, because he missed, you know, beginning part of the season and then clearly the end of the year? So is there another receiver brought in that could really throw a wrench into both of those guys? Plus the run game. You know, I mean, look, I don't think they expect
to
be their bell cow based on how the offseason unfolded. And so do they add another piece there, you know, to address their backfield? So there are a lot of things still at play here. But I think, as Adam said, CJ Stroud's awesome. And you don't necessarily have to worry about what defenses do to necessarily take him down a peg. Dave's 100% right. There's obviously going to be ways to try and rattle him and make him uncomfortable. But, you know, when you're good, you're good. And if you're as good as he looked, he should be able to overcome that.
Plus, no, and I'm buying into him. You can look at my quarterback rankings. He's going to be in my top 10. He's not going to be in my top 5. But I think he's a great quarterback. And the other telltale sign that worked for me was that he was good when Tank Dell was on the field, or when Tank Dell was off the field, or any other situation that you can come up with. Really, the games where he struggled, it was weather an issue. Did he leave early? That might have been the same game, because it was the Jets game. Like, he'd been consistently good all year, despite whatever situations had been in front of him, and he was beating the blitz. And when you can do that, especially at a young age, that's a really good sign.
Well, he was better at home. I think the biggest thing, though, is do they keep Bobby Slowik? You know, as long as he's there, then there's a lot to love.
Do you think he gets hired? Did he do
good? He's definitely going to be in the interview cycle. I don't know how he wouldn't be based on how everything unfolded. But he feels like same thing happened to Ben Johnson. You know, too young, not ready for it.
Right.
And so, you know,
so he gets another year there.
Dallas, you know, some of these offense coordinators that are young, they probably got to go through another year of doing it again. But for Slowik, he certainly has come from the right tree.
Sure. And that would help C.J. Stroud develop that counterpunch. Or really, it's not about Stroud developing. It's the Texans offense that has to develop that counterpunch.
Sure. All right. Tight ends, top 5 tight ends in week 18 were Ingram in PPR. Ingram, Kincaid, Sam Laporta, Will Disley, and Donald Parham, who, I mean, I think Gerald Everett's a free agent. So I wonder if Parham has maybe some sleeper appeal next year, if he's back. He's pretty good when Everett's out, and Everett got hurt in week 18. So something to think about for next year.
Yeah. I mean, you know, see, there's a lot of things that play with the Chargers, but yeah, it's not a bad call.
All right. How old is he?
Let's get our top 24s for 2024. We might have only time for top 12. Ah, screw it. We'll do top 24.
Yeah. Screw it.
Who's number one?
I'm only through my top 20 yet. So that's all I have.
It's hard. It gets tough. Well, here's how many quarterbacks are in your top 24?
None.
Man, I'm so different. I had 2 because I just felt like I got to a point in my top 24 where I started having doubts. I'm going to change one pick. No, I started having doubts about guys. Well,
let me ask you this,
and
though,
I was like, I'll just take a quarterback. Because I
think this is something we're going to spend a lot of time talking about. If you see what happened this year, right? And we just talked about C.J. Stroud and a little bit of Jordan Love and Brock Purdy, and Kyler Murray is going to be a value pick, and Tua Tagovailoa and all these guys. And I know you're probably going to say, well, this year might be an outlier based on the points from the high-end guys to the low-end guys, because that's kind of what we saw, that they all came back down to the group a little bit. And let's just say that the tush push stays. I'm going to guess your top 2 guys are Allen and Hurts. So the tush push stays and Stephon Diggs stays in Buffalo. So there's no real changes for those guys and what they can be. Why would you still draft those guys so early?
Yeah, it's because I don't want to waste the second round pick. So I get to the point in the second round where I'm thinking like Saquon Barkley. I think he's done enough to be a top 24 pick, because I think wherever he goes, he's going to be pretty close to a workhorse. I don't think he'll stay with the Giants, but he's still good. But I just see more bust potential. It's almost like, why would you take a running back in the first round of the NFL draft? And the answer is, yes, well, I know I can get good running backs on day 2 and 3. They are some of the safest picks. They rarely are busts in the first round, whereas other positions are huge busts in the first round. You end up setting your franchise back. So that's kind of what the point was in the second round, where I was like, ugh. So I'm going to move Puka Nacua. I had Allen Hurts ahead of Puka. But I don't really see a reason for that. I'm going to move Puka and Nacua ahead of them. But Tank Dell coming off an injury. Chris Olave didn't quite have the second year I was hoping for. I feel safer with Allen and Hurts. And I still feel like those guys, just because they scored 26 points per game this year or something like that, I still feel like they have 28 to 30 point potential. We saw it very, very recently. They could have better years and separate themselves from the pack a little bit more. So that's my answer. But honestly,
well, they definitely can.
It's January 8th. Things are going to change.
couldn't you see a situation, though, where Allen has a Mahomes type season?
Yeah. If Diggs is gone, I won't. And I still like Diggs, by the way, but I don't think he's washed up personally. But if Diggs is gone, I won't have Josh Allen in the second round. And Hurts.
Unless somebody's significant there.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get it. But at the same time, it's like, can you tell me that the other guys that you have ahead of him are safer than Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts? That's the argument. It's like, I don't want a bust in the second round. I don't want to take.
Yeah, but I think if you're worried about bust potential, you can make a bust case. We do it all the time for every player, you know, and so the quarterbacks are clearly the least or the most bust proof, least bustable. Yeah. You know, so there's clearly a safety factor with any of these quarterbacks. And this was kind of the argument for taking these guys in the first round last year. I mean, remember, I think Chris was not alone, but he was, I think, of the guys that have come on our show saying you should take a quarterback earlier or potentially in the first round with Mahomes and Hurts and Allen, whatever order, because there's less bust potential and they're good for 28 to 30 points. And we saw there were flaws with all of them. You know, Allen sort of turned his season around a little bit toward the end. Hurts really struggled toward the end, and Mahomes was a bust all season long.
It's funny. If you look at what the rest of the quarterbacks did this year, if Allen and Hurts and Mahomes had been as good as they had been last year in 2022, they would have been worth those picks. It was it was a good year for quarterbacks. In terms of there were a lot of good ones that were start worthy that were not much worse than the elite guys. But that's partially because the elite guys were not nearly as good as Correct. They had been.
Well, I mean, it's also, you know, you hear me say this a lot, the pockets of the season. The way Dak finished from week six on was an absolute monster. He performed like those guys. You know, I mean, how he was able to, it was, I just wrote this morning, it was from week six on, so 12 games, he had one game under 20 fantasy points and seven over 26. Like he was just incredible. An absolute monster. Obviously Brock Purdy, what he did, Love the way that
Jordan
he finished.
Love
number you know, one it, quarterback in the last 6 weeks of the fantasy season, 11 through 17, Jordan Love.
Yeah. And then, you know, this is such an outlier, but Joe Flacco and what he accomplished, you know, he finished points per game as the number one quarterback this year. If you're, you know, going with at least a 5-game minimum. So, It's kind of remarkable how some of these guys ended up performing. And in terms of Dak, this is our ADP. Dak was the 12th quarterback. Purdy was the 21st quarterback. Love was the 22nd quarterback. And CJ Stroud had no ADP. Right. And those were all guys that finished in the top eight in terms of points per game. To me, it's like we're right back where we were. Why would you draft the guy early?
Well, I mean, look, you could. I agree with you. I don't really want to. I feel like I ranked it that way, but wouldn't really want to take a quarterback in the second round. But I'm having a hard time as of now figuring out the best players in the second round because I don't see a ton of standouts. I don't see a ton of like true, absolute stars at receiver and running back. And I don't have a tight end in my top 24 right now, which is crazy.
Neither. Me neither. And so I think that's the pivot that you make, though, is when you run out of players that you feel really good about taking to start your draft, that's where you start to fill in the quarterbacks as the next best available option. Yeah. And for me, that's not going to be in the top 24, but for you, it is. For Chris Towers, it might be 12th again. I don't know. But that's generally what you do in your drafts is when you're tired of when you don't feel good about anybody that's left at the other skill positions, you pivot to quarterback.
Well, it's also, you know, and I don't want to necessarily just attach a lot of different players to this because I don't know everybody's top 24, but, you know, maybe it's instead of pivoting to quarterback, you know, and we're going to find out with the rookies and certainly free agency, but is it pivoting to just, you know, young player that's a little bit outside the top 24 if you're looking at somebody else's rankings or maybe just pushing some younger guys up? Like,
sure,
where's Marvin Harrison going? You know, and is he going to be a top 24 caliber player or top 36. And okay, instead of taking a chance on, let's say, Cooper Kupp or Davante Adams or somebody that's a little older that still may have some value, Stephon Diggs, for example, pivot to the younger player that has the most upside because you're trying to win your league. You're not trying just to make the playoffs.
I got to tell you, I really think I messed up. I think I need to put Davante Adams in my top 12. Did you guys have him as a top 12 receiver? Top 12 receiver, not overall. No?
No.
All right, then I won't. He's still pretty damn good, though. Okay. Yeah. I respect your opinion. Okay, the last thing I would say when you're looking at your top 24.
Because he's going to be the second guy in New York behind Garrett Wilson.
Right.
Oh, man.
I thought you were going to say, like, behind Wandale Robinson. But if you look at the running backs from last year, there's just, you shouldn't take any of them in the first round. The number one running back was McCaffrey, followed by Breece Hall, ETN, Rashad White, Raheem Mostert, Joe Mixon, Kyron Williams. There's your top seven. All right, moving on. All right, how do you want to do? Let's do our top 12. So let's just do our top. I don't think we have time for a top 24. Dave, unveil.
1 to 12 or 12 to 1?
1 to 12.
Let's take the 28-year-old running back at 101, Christian McCaffrey. Just too good. I can't get away from him if I have the first pick as of now. Love that he's in San Francisco. Love that he's now played two straight years without significant injury. I would trust him with the first pick. I have Breece Hall second and ahead of all the other receivers because I don't think there's going to be a lot left at running back that I'm going to love when I'm up at the end of round two. So because I'm picking at the ends, I'll wait to get those receivers then. So McCaffrey, Hall, those are my first two. Then I go on a receiver run. CeeDee Lamb is my top receiver as of now. Tyreek Hill's after him. Justin Jefferson's after him. Once we know that Kirk Cousins is back in Minnesota and that he's A-OK, probably going to put Jefferson ahead of Tyreek Hill at least. That's my top five. McCaffrey, Hall, Lamb, Tyreek, JJ. Sixth is Amon-Ra St. Brown. Seventh is Amon-Ra St. Brown's teammate, Jahmyr Gibbs. I've got Kyron Williams at eight. I can't believe I have him that high. It makes me nervous to have him that high because there's a chance that he's a one-year wonder, but what a wonder he was. And he's still very young, and he's on the right offense to be in. Nine is Bijan. Ten is Ja'Marr Chase. I would not lose faith in him, especially if Joe Burrow comes back and he's fine. That's a combination that I want to bank on. I have A.J. Brown currently at 11th. I don't think I can keep it that way, so let's throw him out. That would mean that my 11th pick is Devon Achane and my 12th pick is Jonathan Taylor. A lot of running backs going in the first round. It's something I'm trying to break the habit of, but I think that those guys are going to be very popular because the position's going to be top-heavy and thin.
Will you do me a favor and just repeat the names somewhat slowly?
CMC, Breece, CD, Tyreek, Jefferson, Amon-Ra, Jahmyr Gibbs, Kyron, Bijan, Ja'Marr, Achane, Jonathan Taylor.
Okay, now do their full names. No, I'm just kidding. All right, Jamie, go ahead, Jamie, with your top 12.
Sure. It's McCaffrey is one. I lost it for a second. Sorry.
Oh, I thought you were just going slow.
McCaffrey is one. Then it's three receivers for me. I still have Tyreek at the top. So Tyreek is two. CeeDee Lamb is three. Justin Jefferson is four. Breece Hall is five. I have Bijan at six because I do think that the new coach will feature him and he will be the third best running back this upcoming season, if not finish higher than that. Ja'Marr Chase is seven. A.J. Brown is eight. Amon-Ra St. Brown is nine. Jahmyr Gibbs is 10. Jonathan Taylor is 11. And Kyron Williams is 12.
All right. Okay, good stuff. Thank you, guys.
Do you have a top 12?
Yeah, I don't really want to give it.
Come on.
How many quarterbacks are in there?
None. I just, you're making me really second guess my 101, which is Justin Jefferson.
Well, I think you should explain why he's your 101.
Yeah, I mean, I just think they're going to have a better quarterback. You'll have either Cousins or something better than what they had down the stretch. And look what he did with Nick Mullins this past week. He's just so good, and he's in his prime. You know, Tyreek Hill has not shown any signs of slowing down, so I could totally see that, but he is significantly older. I think you could make the case, certainly, for a number of guys. Lamb, you know, this was a little bit out of nowhere. This was much better than anything we'd seen before. I mean, where is he for me? He's wide receiver. Oh, yeah, he's much, much lower for me than he is. He's ninth overall, and he's wide receiver four for me. So anyway,
what do you have ahead of him? Hill, Jefferson, and Chase.
Or Jefferson,
Hill, Chase.
Chase. I'm not penalizing Chase for this season. Like Burrow was basically never healthy.
I don't think you should,
and
I think that's a mistake if you do.
So I go Chase, McCaffrey, Tyreek Hill, Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson. I go Jefferson, McCaffrey, Tyreek Hill, Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson, Jamar Chase 6, Jefferson 1, Chase 6, Taylor 7, Jahmyr Gibbs 8, CeeDee Lamb 9, Amon-Ra St. Brown 10, A.J. Brown 11, Garrett Wilson 12. And then if you're curious, Kyren Williams is 13.
Can I give you the stat on why CeeDee Lamb was first for me?
Yeah, yeah.
After their bye, so clearly they went into their bye and said, we need to give CeeDee a lot of work. He averaged 27.8 PPR points per game through week 17. Doesn't even include week 18. 12.6 targets per game. Doesn't include week 18. So if they're winning and this is how they're winning and they're succeeding because they're targeting Lamb a ton, I can expect him to outperform potentially everybody.
Oh, I think it's a very fun debate of the top four receivers, because with Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase should be awesome. And you know they have kind of a redemption tour coming because of how everything unfolded this season. Jefferson, to me, is a little bit of a wild card just because of the quarterback situation, because it might not be Cousins. It might be a rookie. And so
it's true,
you know, and you said it, Adam, he was great with Nick Mullins. And I think he has the ability to be great with anybody. He's just that type of player. So it's one of those things. And Dave kind of alluded to this with, you know, taking Breece Hall second is, you know, if you have the opportunity to pick your draft spot, do you want to be in that 3 through 5 range?
Yep.
To if you're going receiver, you know, if you want to avoid, because we've seen the number one pick get injured and potentially be a bust the last couple of seasons, to avoid that curse, if there is one, to avoid having the decision of, you know, Breece Hall versus the receiver field. So let somebody else make that decision for you. And then you just say, okay, I want to take the best of what's left at wide receiver while still getting the earliest pick in the second round, which is clearly the advantage to that. So if you want to say, okay, I want to pick 5th or 6th, and I'll be perfectly fine with, oh, okay, Tyreek's too old, I'll take him. Fine. That's perfect. Jefferson's got a bad quarterback. Okay, I think he'll still be great. Perfect. Jamar Chase, he's probably going to be the lowest ranked of that four. In a down season, he averaged 17 points per game, you know, so just shows you how great he is. So there's still just a lot to love about all four of those guys.
Let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to tell you who our nominees are for the fantasy football superlatives, the MVP, the biggest bust, the best waiver wire ad, and the comeback player of the year. And you can go to our Facebook page and vote. And we'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We are talking fantasy superlatives. So who did we nominate for MVP, biggest bust, non-injury related, and best waiver wire ad and comeback player of the year? Four categories. We need to get a final four for each of them. We're going to talk that out on the show right now. Okay, so guys, give me your MVP candidates.
Kyren Williams. Kyren Williams and Williams, Kyren.
All right. I'm going to make a good case against Kyren Williams as the MVP, but who are some other names? It can't just be who scored the most points. Obviously, draft value has to be taken into account here, but who are some other names, Dave, that we should be putting as a finalist?
Okay, so the Susan Lucci's for this category would include McCaffrey. I think he kind of warrants it just because he had himself an amazing year and really delivered slash over-delivered as the first running back off the board. I can't say he was the 101. Raheem Mostert was right there with Kyren Williams, scored more touchdowns than Kyren Williams at one point during the season, I think overall for the season. And then some other names that could make it, Rashad White, Mike Evans, Puka, you could put him in there. Maybe you look to the quarterbacks and you can make a case for Dak in there. But I kind of agree. The guy that knocked Cam Akers off the Rams roster is the MVP.
Well, how about the tight end who scored the most fantasy points among tight ends this year? Sam Laporta. That's an amazing draft pick. And I think I might vote for Christian McCaffrey because he played every game in the fantasy season. Whereas Kyren, this is the only case. He scored 3 more points per game than Kyren Williams, but he didn't miss the 4 games. You know, so I think to me, it's between McCaffrey and Kyren. Jamie, you were very obviously intent on it being Kyren Williams. But what do you think about that argument? McCaffrey averaged 3.3 more PPR fantasy points per game than Kyren. He averaged more than Lamb. He averaged more than Tyreek Hill. So best non-quarterback in fantasy. And he didn't miss a game. Kyren missed 4.
Look, you know, we I think always approach this. I always approach this as draft value. And Kyren was, you know, either one of your last picks or one of the best waiver wire picks. And it's hard to penalize McCaffrey for doing everything that we expect him to do. And then some, you know, so he was a superstar. He was durable. You know, I mean, I guess if you're going to slightly knock him, his, you know, leaving the game early in the championship round, you know, you can certainly make that case, but he still gave you a solid performance in that game. I think he had over 100 total yards before he left.
It was his worst game of the year, 13.1 PPR points
in week 17. While Williams was maybe his best game of the season with the 30-point game. But in any event, yeah, it's hard to knock McCaffrey. I think the top three candidates for me would be McCaffrey, Williams, and I would put Dak Prescott third. I think just knowing what he did throughout the course of the second half of the season, again, taking into draft value, he was the 12th quarterback selected, and to perform the way that he did and to elevate CeeDee Lamb the way that he did, I think that also factors into it too.
Okay, so if we go with the final four, certainly McCaffrey, certainly Kyren Williams. Dave, who would you want Dak on there too?
I think Dak deserves it.
All right, so the last spot, I'd say it's either Puka, Evans, Lamb. Yeah, Lamb is certainly up there.
Lamb was drafted as a first round pick, and he again, not to penalize him for the way he performed, but he was expected to be an elite receiver, and he played like one.
I think Laporta really deserves, I mean, to be the number one tight end in fantasy.
He was number one in total points.
Yeah, he was number three per game. Three in
PPR points per game.
All right. So who's our last one? If Dak's three.
I would say Puka.
Puka? Okay. All right. So
why not Mostert?
Because Mostert didn't play in the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, I'm missing week 17, I think. It's tough.
And 16.
Okay.
He missed week 16. He didn't miss week 16, did he?
Oh, that's the game he left early, right? That was the
early in 16, missed 17, missed 18.
Okay.
So he helped you get there, and then he might have been the reason why you didn't make it all the way.
McCaffrey, Kyren, Dak, Puka. Biggest bust, non-injury related.
There's three for me, and it's not close. It's Mahomes, Pollard, and Bijan.
I had those three. I also had Diggs. Just he finished so poorly.
So mattered, you could say Diggs. You know, and this is a tough one because he still finished in however metric you want to look at it, total points or points per game, top three or top two. But Kelsey.
Yeah. He was good for time. I mean, the thing about Mahomes and Kelsey is they were so bad when it mattered most. And Diggs too. And Pollard too. Pollard scored a combined 18.9 PPR fantasy points in weeks 15 through 17. In your fantasy playoffs, he had fewer than 8 points in every game. I think he's the
winner. The biggest bust.
Yeah.
I think he is too.
So Pollard, Bijan, Mahomes, we're good with that three? Who's our fourth?
I would say Kelsey four.
Which sounds crazy, but you've got to consider where he was drafted and what the expectations were.
100%.
Was he a bigger bust than Diggs, though? Because Kelsey was like the number two tight end per game or something.
No, I think Diggs wound up being a bigger bust than Kelsey. But they were both along the same lines. They both went totally flaccid the end of the season.
Yeah. All right, so that's two votes for Diggs. So he'll be our fourth. Best waiver wire ad. Well, it's going to end up being one of the Rams. Yeah. Kyren, Puka. I have Jordan Love. Who was
he belongs on there?
61.
I would put Stroud over Love if we're going based on ADP because Stroud had no ADP.
So
yeah, but both were picked up off the waiver wire, and Love was better than Stroud.
Yeah, and he came through. He was, like I said, he was the number one quarterback in fantasy in the last 6 weeks of this of the fantasy season.
Yep. And just like Stroud, the guys that he was throwing to changed almost every week.
But yeah, I would say the two Rams guys, and then you can pick the quarterback. To crush.
So would you put both quarterbacks on? Because I think you could do Tank Dell. You could do Achan.
Achan was good, but you had to go so long without him.
I think if you also want to put a third quarterback in there, Purdy.
Oh, that's a great call.
Yeah. Love finished 1/10 of a point per game higher than Purdy.
I would say the two Rams
had Purdy by almost a PPR.
All right, we're gonna go with two Rams and two quarterbacks.
I mean, look, this is again we're trying to pick who's gonna finish second place.
So who's our second quarter? So if we go Love, who's our last guy? Stroud or Purdy?
Purdy.
Purdy?
Agreed.
All right. And then comeback player of the year. Who do we have for this?
Mostert.
Mostert is probably the best one.
Or Dak. I would say Dak.
Yeah, Dak bounced back in a massive way.
All right, so Mostert. What did Mostert bounce back from, though?
He wasn't good last year.
Is that really a...
We're doing...
Look, you never had a year like this.
No, oh, okay, but I think Breece Hall... Wait, so we said Breece Hall, right?
You just did.
We didn't say Breece Hall yet? He's got to be.
Sure.
He's the winner for me.
Breece Hall's a good one. I put Mostert on there. I would put Dak on there.
I put Cortland Sutton's name in there because he did bounce back, but he's not going to win. He's just somebody who stunk last year, and he came back, and he had a better year.
I mean, if you want to talk about helping you in the playoffs, Kyler.
Kyler's a great one. Yeah. All right. So I've got five names. I got Breece Hall, Joe Flacco, Raheem Mostert, Kyler Murray, and I heard Cortland Sutton. Did I miss anyone?
Yeah, you don't have to put Sutton in there.
Okay. For me, it would be Dak, Mostert.
Dak, right. Sorry.
Breece and Flacco.
Mostert, Breece, and Flacco. Dak, Mostert.
I mean, hell, Kyron was going to win this war, too. He wasn't playing all this year.
Yeah. All right. I will see if anybody has anything in the chat. Yeah. No. Mike Evans. Oh, that's a good one. Mike Evans is a
Mike
really
Evans
good
is
one.
A great one.
Yep.
Although he still averaged a pretty good number last year.
I don't think Trey McBride is really a candidate for this one. I see people saying Trey McBride.
Yeah, I agree. 15 PPR points per game in 2022 for Evans. And then through week 17, he was at 17.3.
Yeah, it's not really a big comeback.
It's not.
I agree with you. I think that from a point perspective.
That's better than Sutton. Yeah.
Okay, so Hall, Flacco, and Mostert for sure. Who's our fourth? Prescott, Kyler?
I go Dak.
I think Dak bounced back.
Okay. Okay. These will be up on Facebook.
Tua?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the concussions last year, didn't play very much, played 17 games.
And what exactly is Dak bouncing back from? Sorry.
He was miserable last season.
Okay. It doesn't matter. Breece Hall should be the Breece Hall Comeback Player of the Year award. Right? I mean, I think Flacco's going to get a lot of votes, but Hall is going to win. Okay. Thank you, guys. I love superlatives. They're very fun. Ezekiel Elliott. That's a good one. Comeback player of the year.
When's our first mock?
Wednesday. Answer your email.
Tuesday, right?
No, Wednesday.
No, Tuesday.
Oh, it got moved to Tuesday, right. Okay. I'm in.
When are we going to have our first fan mock?
Oh, that's a great question.
We have like 12 people listening. I
mean, no, we don't. We have more than you think. I bet we have more listeners.
All right,
listeners.
Everybody who's listening, you're in the mock draft.
I bet we have more listeners this week than last week. That's my guess. All right, everybody. Is James Conner a comeback candidate?
Yeah.
What did he average?
No, he was great last season.
He was good. And really, he only stepped up and he got hurt this year. He actually averaged more PPR points per game last year than through 17 games this year. So, no. He's actually gone down each of the past 3 years.
Debo. Debo's get on there? One.
Yep. He had 4 more PPR points per game this year than last year, not including week 18.
Mm. Jerry Jeudy. Week 18 redemption.
All right. Just in time to help.
I guess I'm going to leave Debo off for Dak. But Breece Hall should win. Vote for Breece Hall. We'll talk to you later. Sorry, I don't mean to be influential or anything. We'll talk to you on Wednesday on Fantasy Football Today.
So influential. Everybody was going to eat that ham sandwich monstrosity.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You're ready, Bob.
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.